I'm Duncan McLeod.
And I'm Rehard van der Berg.
This is Talk Central episode 101 for the weekend starting Friday, 20 June 2014.
Talk Central is brought to you by Tech Central, where you'll find South Africa's best technology journalism. Look for us on Twitter at Tech Central.
On Google Plus at Plus Tech Central.
And on Facebook at Tech Central ZA.
On Talk Central this week, we talk about the untimely passing of Business Connection CEO Benjamin Mopatlane.
We also talk about Telkom's fiber to the home plans and Wi-Fi in South Africa's minibus taxis.
And I have a rant about the mess the president has left the communications portfolio in.
As always, we pick the week's biggest winner and biggest loser, and Duncan and I will pick our product or app of the week.
As always, we have to pay the bills first. We'll be back right after this.
Since getting high-speed satellite internet access out here, things have been happening at the lodge. We've posted more pictures.
Yeah.
We've had more inquiries.
Yeah.
And we've had more guests.
Yeah. Yeah. See? Hi. Yeah. 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 We.
Yeah.
So, say ya to YaClick Internet Access, wherever you are. YaClick, available from Vox Telecom and Atlantic. SMS your name to 48484 and we'll call you right back. Standard rates apply.
Welcome to the show. How's it, Rehard?
How's it, Duncan?
Good, thanks. So some really sad news to kick things off this week, and that's the death at the age of just 41 of Benjamin Mopatlane, the chief executive of the listed IT group Business Connection. Unexpected, obviously, at that young age. He died of a heart attack at a meeting in Rosebank in Johannesburg last week. And very sad news.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, it's never nice to hear somebody's passing, especially at an early age. And I think especially somebody that had such a prolific impact on the industry as he had.
Indeed. And I've known the guy, I must say, for probably... I remember when he started out, actually, in the mid-1990s, when he was just getting going. And the deal that he then did with Business Connection, which was, I think, called Comperix back then, if I'm not mistaken, or PQ Africa. He was always a very approachable, very friendly guy who always had the time of day for you. He would always take my call. He was always very bubbly personality. He was always quick to laugh and clearly enjoyed life. I remember meeting him in the mid-1990s, and as the chairman, Tony Rater, said this week, it was very difficult to tell him apart from his brother, Isaac Mopatlane, the twin brothers who started the Business Connection business together. Smart guys, and major loss, and our condolences to his family and everyone at Business Connection.
Indeed.
For what happened. Really, really sad news. Anyway, let's not dwell on that. Let's move on a bit and look at some of the developments that have been happening in the industry this week. And I think one of the most exciting ones, it wasn't actually last week, but we missed the show last week, so let's talk about it now. And that's Santaco's plan to roll out Wi-Fi in conjunction with Telkom to over 90% in the next 3 years of South Africa's minibus taxi fleet.
Mm. And taxi ranks.
And taxi ranks too, yeah, around the country. I think this is really exciting news, and it's really a positive development. I think that a lot of the people who use these taxis, while perhaps they have had some exposure to the internet, I don't think they use the internet on a regular basis, or certainly not to the extent that they perhaps could be. And I think this may encourage people, entice people to get online more. And I think it's a very positive development and to be welcomed, even though there's only 50 megabytes a month of free access. Mm. I think that's good. It'll allow people to do some stuff on their mobile devices while they're commuting, and I think it's gonna foster more of an online culture in South Africa, which has to be positive in the long run.
Definitely, I totally agree, and especially considering that the taxi ranks will be covered. I think people standing around waiting. We know a lot of people spend time in taxis, each day. And this exposure that it gives them really is unseen, especially that you get 50 megabytes for free. I think the outlook for this is good. We'll probably see a lot of spin-off from this too, simply because this is going to lead by example.
Yeah, I think it's excellent. I think that first of all, it's going to teach people about Wi-Fi. And I think that's going to have positive spin-off effects as well, especially as the Wi-Fi infrastructure gets built around South Africa, not just in taxis, but in shopping centers and elsewhere. And I think people will increasingly look for Wi-Fi rather than relying on the mobile networks. But it's also, I think, going to put pressure on the mobile networks to bring down their data prices as well, as the competition from Wi-Fi intensifies. Yeah. And of course, the mobile operators are increasingly going to look to Wi-Fi as an offloading mechanism as well, especially if they can't get access to additional frequency spectrum. Wi-Fi is going to be increasingly important to reduce the load on those mobile networks.
I would really like to see maybe an increase in that monthly cap. I know it's going to cost somebody some money, but if they have really reasonable rates for increasing that cap, this could really set a really good example, and I'm really interested to see where this is going to take us. I would actually be quite happy to put one of those in my car if I'm stuck in traffic for long periods of time, you know, provide service to the people around you.
Yes.
As we see more Wi-Fi networks mesh Joburg or South African cities, we may find ourselves in a position where we won't even need to use much 3G data, and we can simply just use Wi-Fi, as you said, Wi-Fi offloading. It'll be a lot cheaper for people to use. Internet penetration will certainly grow a lot quicker in South Africa, especially because this incentive is targeting so many millions of commuters who probably don't have much to do during their commute, and browsing the internet or even going onto Twitter or Facebook. Seems like a very good idea, and I'm in full support of this.
Great stuff. Well, let's stay on the connectivity theme, but moving in a different direction, I guess, entirely, and that's fiber to the home. We've seen so much noise about this in the last couple of weeks, starting with the Parkhurst initiative and the awarding of that tender to Vumatel, and now Telkom. It was in fact a week ago to the day to this recording that Telkom announced that they were starting their own commercial FTTH rollout, which ironically or perhaps deliberately includes Parkhurst, perhaps to muddy the waters a little bit. But they're rolling out to 20 plus suburbs in the first phase, which they want to have completed by the end of the year, which is really quite aggressive. They're rolling out particularly in Johannesburg, the areas around Rosebank I noticed in particular. So Parkhurst, Parktown North, Craig Hall Park, Ilovo, those areas around the Rosebank area, but also rolling out to a couple of suburbs down in Durban. I see Kloof is where I grew up is getting access. Winston Park and Gillets, if I remember, were the areas that are being connected there, and in Cape Town a couple of suburbs as well. I forget which ones they are. Backoven, I'm not sure how you pronounce that. One or two others in Cape Town and one or two suburbs in Pretoria as well. Smallish start, but it's encouraging that Telkom is now talking FTTH. We've discussed this before, Rechard. We think they should have started this years ago. But I think it's positive. 100 megabits a second. Still no detail on the pricing. They had promised that this week, but it hasn't come through yet. We're just getting started, but exciting times, and it's good that Telkom is finally getting on the FTTH band.
Finally, yes.
Yeah.
I think it's probably later than what we all would have hoped, but the fact that there's a relative amount of competition now probably ensure that the prices are going to remain competitive or become more competitive, and I'm really looking forward to seeing that. And I guess more players in the industry to roll out fiber to the home is never a bad thing. I hope it reaches my suburb soon, which is in one of those neighbouring areas.
Yeah, otherwise you'll just have to go and tap into that free Wi-Fi that they're planning to roll out in Parkhurst on weekends. And
I'll have an extender antenna on my roof.
Take a couple of terabyte hard disk with you so you can download the internet over weekends. But interesting that Telkom included Parkhurst in their initiative, in their rollout. Do you think that's not been done? Do you think they did that to muddy the waters, being announced just after the Parkhurst Residents Association announced that they'd awarded the tender to Vumatel to roll out fiber in the area?
Yeah, I think they don't want to be losing out on that. I don't know how it will work if they put in infrastructure along with Vumatel. They'll probably most likely be...
I don't see that happening.
So they may cover areas where Vumatel isn't covering, I guess we'll have to see their plans. But more competition is always better for the consumer, especially when it comes to fiber rollout. We just need, one good set of deployments in a couple of neighborhoods, and it'll be like wildfire. I think it'll spread very quickly.
Indeed. I mean, the Parkhurst one interests me. We should actually have a conversation with Ryan Horsehorn, who's behind the Parkhurst project, about it. Because, what happens if Vumatel, first of all, comes along? They're about to start their project. Telkom comes along, they plan to do it by the end of the year. Now we've got two sets of fiber going into Parkhurst. Does that muddy the water? Does that reduce the investment case for fiber in that neighborhood? What happens if half the neighborhood decides to go with Telkom and the other half decides to go with Vumatel? Is it then commercially feasible? It's an interesting one.
It's a very interesting question.
So how does this all play out? But it's good that Telkom is starting to make these sort of investments. At the same time, they're also talking up the more aggressive rollout of their LTE infrastructure. They're talking about rolling out a 100 megabit per second home LTE product. I'm not sure what technology that's going to be based on. They haven't provided a lot of detail yet, so presumably it's some upgrade to their existing LTE infrastructure, which I know doesn't in real world tests hasn't been topped out above 100 megabits a second. So perhaps it's some sort of LTE advanced infrastructure that they're planning to deploy this year. They're aiming that more at the underserviced areas, areas where they're not where their fixed line copper infrastructure and their fiber to the home infrastructure isn't going to reach. They've named some of the larger townships around Gauteng as some of the areas that are going to get this infrastructure first. But it sounds like an interesting product, and if it's priced correctly as a proper fixed line alternative, then it could be a compelling product offering.
Yeah, it's quite exciting times. I mean, if I think back a decade ago to when I first started, or when I first got my ADSL connection, you know, the hopes and dreams of us being able to get better infrastructure seemed like a lifetime away. And now that we're finally on the cusp of a new dawn, so to speak, where we can potentially get high capacity broadband to the home, whether it's via LTE or even fiber, I'm incredibly excited about it.
Yeah. Anyway, I think it's time for me to have a bit of a rant, as I do occasionally on the show. The situation with the Department of Communications, or shall we call it the split Department of Communications, now the new Department of Communications, and what was the Department of Communications, which is now the Department of Telecommunications, Telecommunications and Postal Services. There's just a continued lack of any clarity from these departments on from government on where we are with this whole thing. You know, for example, I've been unable to even get the basic question answered of who is managing South Africa's digital television migration project now. There is zero clarity coming out of government on a range of issues. There are a lot of rumors going around at the moment. One of the main ones is that, and I believe it's more than just a rumor, is that ICASA, which is currently reporting into the Department of the new Department of Communications, essentially this information ministry that houses the SABC, is now in fact going to be moved and will report into the Department of Telecommunications and Postal Services, which in my view makes a lot more sense, given that a large part of ICASA's mandate is dealing with telecommunications, and arguably a smaller part of its mandate is dealing with the SABC. So apparently that's happening, but we've had no clarity on this at all. There's the whole digital migration project has effectively been on hold now for 6 weeks since the election. No progress is being made. Very real concerns that we're not going to meet our deadline in the middle of 2015 to the commitment we made to the International Telecommunications Union to get this project completed. Obviously, there are huge concerns around how long it's going to take now to allocate the spectrum that those broadcasters are going to free up when they eventually get off analog broadcast, which could be any time between now and 2020, possibly. And that has a knock-on effect on the allocation of or dealing with the lack of broadband, particularly in rural and underserviced parts of the country where the digital dividend, the spectrum the broadcasters are sitting on, is ideally suited for rolling out infrastructure in those areas at an affordable level. We're at a level that is profitable for the operators, at least. It's a bit of a mess at the moment. The rumors again that the Department of Post and Telecommunications is in fact going to be transformed into some sort of super ICT ministry. There's talk that the state IT agency, even, which currently sits under public service and administration and which looks after government IT procurement and other centralized IT services, is going to be moved into the Department of Communications. I'm not sure that's the right move. I think that an entity like that naturally would sit under the Department of Public Service and Administration. Other rumours that Broadband InfraCo is going to be moved into this new department. It's currently, of course, sitting under the Department of Public Enterprises. Broadband InfraCo was the brainchild of former Public Enterprises Minister Alec Irwin, who really set up himself really as the second Minister of Telecommunications at the time, in opposition or in competition with the then Communications Minister, Ivy Matsepe Kasaburi, who was taking far too long to open up the market to competition. Alec Irwin, who was a member of the Communist Party, felt that the state needed to play a strong role in fostering that competition, and he felt Broadband Infraco would be the best suited to set up and established as a state-owned competitor to the state-owned or partially state-owned Telkom. We all know how that's turned out. Yeah. Broadband Infraco is pretty ineffective, loss-making entity that may in fact be folded into Telkom at some point in the future. But it's a big mess, and you know, we've been promised a press conference for weeks now to clarify some of these issues and to get an explanation of where this is all going, but nothing has been forthcoming. So I think many people were hoping that President Jacob Zuma would clarify many of these issues in his State of the Nation address in Parliament on Tuesday. Unfortunately, he didn't. His speech contained a grand total of 41, I have to say, rather facile words about the situation, out of a speech, I think, of 4,500 words. Really didn't deal with the situation at all. One can only assume that's because no agreement's been reached on exactly how these new departments are going to work together and how the whole thing's going to be structured and how it's all going to function. But anyway, let me stop ranting there. It's a worrying situation, and we can only hope that there is clarity on how this whole thing, which clearly wasn't well thought out when Zuma announced his new cabinet, is going to be addressed. Well, let's move on to our winner and loser, Rehot. I think our winner this week, we've spoken about them already. I think we're going to choose Santaco, the minibus taxi association, and we'll choose Telkom, their commercial partner, along with that, for agreeing to the 50 megabyte free monthly cap on use of these services. We haven't seen pricing yet, commercial pricing. That's going to be announced soon. But I think it's a great initiative by Santaco and Telkom, and it's going to have a big beneficial impact, I think, on just people getting online in South Africa. So well done to them.
Definitely. I just hope we see more free bandwidth on those deployments.
Yeah, for sure. And our loser this week, I think it was a pretty easy choice. And that's Mr. Claudie Motsoeneng, the acting chief operating officer of the SABC, who this last week was offered and accepted the offer of a gift of a bride with whom she was photographed topless, standing alongside him in one of the weekly newspaper or daily newspapers. I think it was the Sowetan. I really don't know what to say about this story, but is this man suitable to be effectively running the SABC?
Yeah.
Let's leave it there.
Yeah, let's leave it there.
Let's move on to our Apple product of the week. What have you got, Ray, this week?
Well, something that caught my eye was Facebook announcing that the Android app, which they've optimized effectively for emerging countries, will be much easier to, will be much better, be able to run on low amounts of data. It was the reason why, obviously, Android version only for now. I haven't seen anything on iOS. I think Android, they've got a lot more flexibility with the Android platform, and also I think you can probably argue that most of the devices in emerging countries will probably be Android based devices over iOS devices,
for sure.
I was just reading the article on VentureBeat where they said the Facebook team was able to reduce the startup time of news feeds of the app loading and of the news feeds by 50%. They actually switched to WebP, which is a Google image compression technology that will allow, which results in a 25-30% data saving as compared to normal JPEG, and even 80% compared to PNG. So what does obviously allow Facebook users in emerging countries to do, or actually even around the world, anybody on an Android platform, is to use to have a Facebook app that consumes less data. I think it's a very good thing. You can probably argue if Facebook is really a necessity all over the world, but it's a very good move. I think if more,
no, I think it's great. I mean, Facebook is a data intensive application because it's used intensively for photographs. So
definitely.
That's good. So this isn't a separate Android Facebook app. This is the Facebook Android app. It's available to everybody.
Yes, yes. So they're just going to be
whether you're in Africa or America.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So the benefits will be across the platform. And it'll be good to see more companies trying to do this. I mean, there's a lot of applications that consume way too much data. I actually had a friend the other day who posted on Facebook, and he said, or he showed a photograph of his Google Plus account consuming about 1.3 gigabytes of data, without him knowing it.
Wow.
actually had a bit of a dadable after that. I haven't found out exactly what
he probably had auto picture uploads enabled or something like.
Potentially. I think it could have been that.
So yeah, because when you install Google Plus, it actually asks you, "Would you like to upload all your pictures?"
Yeah, yeah.
And exactly. If you say yes, you can. Well, what I've done with my Google Plus app is it uploads photos automatically, but only when I'm in a Wi-Fi hotspot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what it should be doing. I mean, that's what it should be doing by default. Mm. I think this is a very good move by Facebook, and I hope other image-intensive applications follow suit.
So, is this available right now, or is it still to come?
No, they're still working on it.
Okay.
I can't see when it'll be launched. I'm sure it'll be soon.
Soon, next few months. Yeah, yeah. Okay, cool. Well, my pick of the week has launched already, and it's the new Guardian app, the Guardian newspaper in the UK. Really good website. Of course, the publication that broke much of the news around the NSA and the Edward Snowden revelations. They've released a completely overhauled version of their app for mobile platforms, including Android, which I use it on, and it is absolutely brilliantly designed. Whoever was behind it really had an eye for design. Beautiful use of space, of fonts, of photography, really well designed. If you don't know the Guardian app, or if you're using an older version of it, do take a look at it. I think that they've done some amazing work with it, and I think that that what this app is pointing to is the way of future news is going to be designed and consumed. It's really, I think they borrowed some ideas from iOS. It's quite a flat sort of design. It's some of the icons look kind of iOS 7-ish. It's very well executed, and if you want some insight into, I think, where app design may be going in the future, the Guardian app is worth having a look at, and it's also, of course, just a great app for catching up with the latest international news developments.
I'm going to get it, definitely.
Awesome. Well, I think that's it. That's it for this week, Recha. Thanks very much for everyone for listening. If you've got any feedback on the show, of course, you can always email us at info@techcentral.co.za. Until next weekend, from Recha to myself, have a great time. Cheers.
Ciao, ciao.